I thought I'd go through the scriptures about Christ's two-stage commissioning of Paul. And in Acts 26, verses 16 to 20, is a section where I can clearly see Christ's early sending, his early commissioning. It was a limited commissioning. He said at that point, if he said at the end of Acts, if he said, I now send you, that wouldn't tell much. But at the beginning, in Acts 9, when he says, I now send you, that tells that all through Acts, in at least all through Paul's portion of Acts, he was under this commission that we're going to see here in Acts 26. So it was an early commission. It was a now send commission. It was limited to the Jews and the Greeks. Well, the word commission means to send. In Latin, MISS is the part of the word for send. And to send, to send, would be, as I understand it, commission. We don't need to get into all that, but we talk about his sendings. We're talking about commissions that Christ gave to Paul. Christ said these things. They're recorded in the Bible. It shouldn't be a mystery anymore. I don't understand why people jump over them or they try to combine them. When you talk to somebody that's not a dispensationalist, that doesn't rightly divide, they have no problem with saying, well, gospel of God, gospel of Christ, gospel of circumcision, they're all the same. You know, they have no problem ignoring the names God gave to his various items. But us in dispensationalism that rightly divide, we should take note of the names God gives to his dispensations. And there aren't that many listed in the Bible. We should make a difference. Don't say, we shouldn't be saying, well, they're all the same. I can see that early commissioning of Paul, that now I send you, described in at least four scripture passages, distinct from his later sending. So we're going to go through and look at the verses. And there's a portion, a smaller part, maybe one or two verses. I could just read the one or two verses, but I want to read the context. The whole area. This first one's four verses, four or five verses. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, five verses. And there is one later on that's 17 verses. But I'll try to read fast and point out where the significant things are. Let's start off with Acts 26. Verses 16 to 20. All right. But rise and stand up upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness. Both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. Verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. So he said he's going to send them, send Paul to the people, that's Israel and Gentiles, from whom he'll deliver them, deliver him from them. They're not going to like him. going on, end of verse 17, unto whom now I send thee. That's the now I send. That's at that time in Acts 9. It's written in Acts 26, but he's reporting to King Agrippa what happened in Acts 9. To open their eyes. So why is he sending him? He's sending him to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Who's the light of the world? Turn them to light. And from the power of Satan unto God. The gospel of God there, it fits that description. Turning people, changing their minds about who the light of the world is, turning them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God. God's power, the power of God unto salvation is the gospel of Christ. So that all fits, turning them unto God, fits the definition of the gospel of God. The facts about who Jesus is, that he is the light, not the darkness. Turn. Going on, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may. Do you see that? That they may. This is in other words, the first part of the verse allows the person to take a step into the second part of the verse, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So there you've got a gospel of salvation, right? The gospel of Christ fits that description. Receiving forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them that are sanctified or set apart by faith. Their faith is in Christ Jesus. Okay, that's 16 to 18. Let's go with 19, verse 19 in Acts 26. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. So we know that he did those things. He was not disobedient, but showed first unto them at of Damascus. And we're going to analyze this verse 20 here, so take note. But showed first unto them of Damascus, and at Jerusalem, that's secondly, and thirdly, and throughout all the coasts of Judea. And then, in other words, following those three things afterwards, to the Gentiles, that they should repent. That they were to repent. Well, are we supposed to repent? Is that part of our gospel? Who are they in that verse, that they should repent? Paul said, first unto them of Damascus. Let's see who the they were in Damascus. Who did Paul preach to in Damascus? Look at Acts 9, verses 19 and 20. Acts 9, 19 says, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. So the them in Damascus were those Jewish disciples in the synagogues. Verse 20 in Acts 26, verse 20 continues after Damascus with and at Jerusalem. So we'll look at Jerusalem and see what he says, who he preached to in Jerusalem in that time. In Acts 9, verse 26, who was Paul with in Jerusalem? When Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. Now, are those Gentile apostles? Those are Jews also, aren't they? And declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. So the them that are to repent in Jerusalem were more Jewish disciples and Jewish apostles, the ones that Saul preached to. So going on, Acts 26, verse 20 continues after Jerusalem with throughout all the coasts of Judea. So who was Paul with in Judea? Going to Acts 11, verse 25, and we'll go on down through verse 30 here. Acts 11, 25 through 30. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves. These are, as far as I can see, the coasts of Judea. Verse 26, when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people and the disciples. That's who he was talking to that year. The disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So there's an apparent change there, a change in the name. Like we said at the beginning, we write dividers make a difference when God makes a difference. When he gives it a different name, we consider it differently. Don't just say they're all the same. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus. And it's interesting because this Agabus shows up again late in Paul's ministry with another prophecy. But there stood up one of them named Agabus and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, and it came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, talking about there at Antioch, the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it by to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So in Acts 26:20, we were going through the thems, who the thems are. 26:20, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and we went through those three, and then to the Gentiles, that's the they we're trying to examine, who it was that he preached to, that they should repent. Is that us? Well, let's summarize what we've found out so far. Who it was that Paul was referring to when he said in the first part of Acts 26:20, but showed unto them of Damascus, that's Jewish disciples, and at Jerusalem, more Jewish disciples, and throughout all the coasts of Judea, more Jewish disciples. After Paul testified that he went to the Jew first and also to the Greek, he goes further in the second part of Acts 26:20, and he says, and then, in other words, following going to those first three groups, then later afterwards, to the Gentiles. Now, Jews are not Gentiles. Gentiles are not Jews. Paul was sent first to the Jews, and then later, that sending was extended, the second stage of that sending, to the Gentiles. Let's look at the verse again. You can see it in there. But this is Acts 26:20. But showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. Paul said that the Jews first and also the Gentiles should repent, meaning change their mind, like he had changed his mind there on the road to Damascus about the true identity of Jesus Christ, that he's the Christ, the Messiah, the risen Son of the living God. Then Paul told the Jew, King Agrippa, and I call him a Jew because of Acts 26:27, that he preached for the Jews and later for the Gentiles to do works meet for repentance. He's reciting to King Agrippa what Christ had told him and how he followed that. But as you read that, people jump to conclusions there. They think that can't be what he said, or he lied or something. But he's not saying how to be saved. He's not telling King Agrippa, I gave these people the gospel of salvation, that they have to do works of repentance, or works meet for repentance. That's not what he said at all, is it? He didn't say anywhere in that verse that those things were the things to do to be saved. He's not talking about salvation. He's talking about what he preached, and he did mention the facts about the gospel of God, but he didn't say that saves you. He didn't say the gospel of Christ, that he preached the gospel of Christ to those people, or that it saves them. In this section, he didn't. Paul was not telling King Agrippa how he preached salvation. Paul was telling King Agrippa what he did after Christ commissioned him, commissioned Paul, commissioned him to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. Again, who's the light of the world? Turn them to light. And from the power of Satan unto God. So that was all about the gospel of God, the facts about who Jesus is, not about how to be saved. It's vague. It's not specific like Romans 1:1-4. I mean, it's not talking about who Satan is. It's not talking about who Paul is. It's to open their eyes, turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. It's more in the area of the gospel of God. And Christ commissioned Paul to preach the gospel of God so that there can be a result. They can have a choice. They're set apart, it tells us in, well, we'll get to that in a minute, Romans 15:16. But people that have believed the gospel of God are set up, set apart to hear and believe the gospel of salvation so that they may receive forgiveness of sins. There's a separation there. It's the same sentence, but one leads to the other. The gospel of God leads them to be able to receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified or set apart by faith that is in me. How are they to be set apart? How are they to be set apart to hear and to have faith in the gospel that Paul preached for salvation? That was the function of the gospel of God, to set them apart, to hear and believe the gospel of Christ or gospel of salvation. Let's look at that verse, Romans 15:16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. Why is he ministering the gospel of God? That the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified or set apart by the Holy Ghost. Now, it doesn't say that they'd be saved there by the gospel of God, but it makes them acceptable. Before Paul, before the fall of Israel, they had to bless Israel to be acceptable. And they don't have that test anymore. There's nothing about Israel involved with the body of Christ now. That the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified or set apart by the Holy Ghost. That's the function of the gospel of God. So, believing the gospel of God set apart those Jews and Gentiles to hear and to believe the gospel of salvation that Paul preached. Now, they weren't forced to believe it. They still had their choice, but they had the option. I mean, they were past the point of thinking that, well, he's not God, but if he's going to sacrifice himself for me, I'll accept it. That doesn't do. I mean, only God, only the true God-man, the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, he's the only one that could accomplish our justification by dying for our sins. The gospel of God is what Paul declared that he preached to the Jews and then to the Gentiles when he was talking to Agrippa there. That's the first section of those four verse sections. The second section is Acts 22:1-16. This also shows Christ's early sending of Paul. His early sending, not the later sending. This shows the early sending. Acts 22:1, men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense which I make now unto you. As I recall, he was in Jerusalem and had been almost pulled apart when he told them that he was going to the Gentiles with the gospel of salvation, the alien Gentiles. I mean, they were okay with the Jew-blessing Gentiles, but he was saying that God told him he was going to save alien Gentiles that believed. And those are the ones that Genesis 12:3 says, I will curse them that curse thee. God said he'd curse them. How could God say he's going to save them? So they rioted, and here Paul gets his chance to give his spiel, his statement. Men, brethren, and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in Hebrew, in the Hebrew tongue, they kept the more silence. And he saith, I am verily a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, and brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous toward God, as you all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. And also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were there bound to Jerusalem for to be punished. Verse 6, we're going up to verse 16. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw the light, saw indeed the light, and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spoke to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise, go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him, and he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldst know his will, and see that just one. So he did actually see him, not just a vision of him, not just a light. See that just one, and shouldst hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt, now that word shalt, that's a future word, right? Thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. So it's out in the future sometime he's going to witness about this, which he's doing right now in Acts 22, actually, isn't he? And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. That shows that he was to be a witness. He was to tell what went on there. It's an account of the same time when in Acts 26 he tells them that the Lord said, I now send thee. I can also see Christ's earthly now send, limited Jew and Greek, Acts 9 commissioning of Paul in Romans 1:16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Everyone that believeth is confined by that last condition, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Otherwise, it wouldn't be on there. And finally, I see Christ's early now sending him at that time in Acts 9, commissioning of Paul, in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 16 to 18. And then we'll get on to the later, Christ's later commissioning of Paul. But here in 1 Corinthians 9:16, For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Verse 17, for if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. It's committed unto me to dispense the gospel. In other words, okay, verse 18. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ. So he's still in the gospel of Christ era. I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. So those all had to do with his early sending. Sending to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now let's look at the later sending. The one after he'd gotten well into his ministry. I can see Christ revealing to Paul about his later, wider, all-man sending in the future that would come in the future, Paul's future there. It's already come, you know, before Paul died. We're not still waiting for it, in other words. But it was in the future to when Paul heard about it. Christ said, I will send thee. That's out there in the future still from when he told him. And we'll pick up where we left off there in Acts 22. Remember we read 1 through 16. We're going to read now verses 17 through 21. And this is also called the temple vision. Paul's temple vision, or Christ's temple vision to Paul. I don't know. It's a nickname for it. It's not called that in the scripture, but it identifies these 5 verses. Acts 22:17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem. Notice he's not still in Damascus. This is another trip. In fact, it's probably not the first trip back to Jerusalem after the Damascus salvation experience. He says, it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, verse 18, and saw him saying unto me, make haste, get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. So what would Paul be testifying to the Jews about Jesus Christ that, you know, they would not receive? Well, let's go on. Paul talks back. No back talk, please. He says, and I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by, consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. In other words, I helped. Verse 21, and he said unto me, depart. For I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Now this is at a later time. This is not at the time of Damascus, when the Damascus Road salvation experience. You can see here that Paul had to giddy up out of town real quick. They weren't going to stand for what Paul said he saw in the vision in the temple. So we can look through, we'll do that at another time, look through the 5 trips that Paul took to Jerusalem, and we can determine which one was the briefest, by far. I mean, it's obvious. I'm just going to go to that verse right now and show you that one, because I think you'll agree that it's easily Paul's briefest trip to Jerusalem. That's in Acts 18, verse 22. He was on a fast track. He was trying to get to Jerusalem there for something. I forget if it was a feast or what. But Acts 18, 22, and when he had landed at Caesarea, that's down toward the sea from Jerusalem. It's like the outskirts of it would be like a seaport for that area. When he had landed at Caesarea and gone up, that's climbing the hill to Jerusalem, and saluted the church, he went down. That's going down after all those events we just read in the temple, going down to Antioch. He left there in a hurry. Just three words are dedicated to his visit in Jerusalem, saluted the church. That temple vision undoubtedly was in Acts 18, verse 22. He learned a lot then. It was right after that, Acts 18, 22, that Paul wrote in Acts 19 to the First Corinthians, the first letter we have to the Corinthians, and he said, "Christ sent me not to baptize." Now, we don't have the words of him telling him that in that temple vision, but that was where the change was. He came from Corinth in Acts 18, 1 through about 10 or 11, I think it is. And in Acts 18, 22, he has the temple vision. And then in Acts 19, he writes back to Corinth and says, "I'm not going to baptize. Christ sent me not to baptize." In 1 Corinthians, he said he had baptized some. So there was a change pivoting around that point, that time when he was in the temple and had that vision in Acts 18:22. Let's go on to some of these other verses that show his later sending, which that was, that temple vision. And verse 21, Acts 22:21, "And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee." Send is commission. I will commission thee. In the future, I'm going to commission you to go far hence unto the Gentiles. That would not be the Greek Gentiles, the Greeks in the synagogues. That would be far hence unto the far-off Gentiles, they're called in Ephesians 2:13 and Ephesians 2:17. And I also see Christ revealing to Paul about his later, wider, all-men commission. I will send, the commissioning of Paul, with the same saving message. I mean, the content of the gospel is the same, but it changes its name because of the audience change, so that it's identifiable. And that's in Acts 20, verse 24, we can see it. Acts 20, 24 says, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." Paul had a course, and he'd been working on that from Acts 13, Acts 9, actually, through Acts 20 here when he states this, "that I might finish my course with joy." And here's something different. "And the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God." What do you do when you testify something? You spread it far and wide. You speak it out. You dispense it. This is the dispensing of the gospel of the grace of God. Okay, I also see it a few verses later in the same chapter, Acts 20, verse 32. I can see that there was a second sending, a wider sending. "And now, brethren," now, just a little background, this whole, from Acts 20, verse 17 on down through the end of the chapter, he's talking to the elders that he called down, the Ephesian elders from Ephesus. He didn't go all the way up to Ephesus. He was on that fast track to get to Jerusalem. And he called them down, and he says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God." I turn you over to God. You know, I'm not going to be here. He's saying, it's an application of 2 Timothy 2, verse 2, the commission that we are under and that Paul was under. He says, "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace," of his grace. Not of his law, of his grace, "which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified," or set apart. What word of his grace is able to build you up and is able to give you an inheritance? What word of his grace? Paul was committing the gospel of salvation to faithful men who would be able to teach others also. Look at 2 Timothy 2:2. "And the things thou hast heard of me," you can just see him applying this there in Miletus, where he had called those Ephesian elders down to and giving them the farewell and commissioning them, actually. He said, the things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit. There's the word. Commit is the same word as commission, same root word as commission. The same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Well, that's what Paul was doing. And that's what he's telling them to do. They were the faithful men to Paul. Paul was committing it to these faithful men. They would go back and teach others also, and they would be the faithful men and develop others as they applied Acts 20, verse 32. Now, brethren, I commend you to God and the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. In other words, to make you faithful men too. So that's the Bible's only indication of where the Ephesians came from that Paul later heard of, quote, heard of, in Ephesians 1:15. You can look in Ephesians 1, verse 15, and you can see that Paul had to hear about these people he wrote to in Ephesus. They're not the ones that hugged his neck at the seashore when he had to go and said, I can't return. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck, verse 37, and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. You can see here in Acts 20, Paul's got a wider calling, a wider sending. He's not going back on that same circuit around the Mediterranean there. He's going on a wider circuit to Gentiles that are doctrinally far off.